It's 1989, San Antonio, Texas. Shaquille O'Neal is 17, and he's a basketball phenomenon at Cole High School. For two seasons, he has led his team to 68 wins in 69 games. This season, he's pulled down 791 rebounds. By the way, that's still the state's all-time record. In 89, Shaq's favorite player is David Robinson, a former Navy officer who plays center on the San Antonio Spurs. Pictures and posters of Robinson cover Shaq's bedroom walls. Shaq goes to a Spurs game. Afterwards, he approaches Robinson. He's all smiles, impossibly excited in the presence of his idol. He asks for an autograph.
Yeah, okay.
Robinson signs, but quickly. He barely glances at Shaq. He shows no interest. That's unusual, since for most people, Shaq's very much a person of interest. At 7'1", he's as tall as Robinson. Young Shaq is stung. He will never forgive Robinson for his indifference, and he vows to never treat an aspiring young player like they're invisible. He vows to never make them feel small. Three years later, Shaq's in the NBA, playing center for the Orlando Magic. And every time his team played the Spurs, he is gunning for Robinson. At the 1995 All-Star Game, he dunks on him and knocks him to the ground. Shaq towers over him, a giant, feet wide apart. "Stay down," he warns, glaring. "Don't get up." The Orlando Magic's star guard is Penny Hardaway. And one night, Shaq sees him give the brush off to a 15-year-old kid who wants his autograph. Shaq goes over to the kid. He can see the hurt in his eyes. He knows exactly what he's feeling.
"What's up, man?" he says. "How you doing?"
Shaq starts asking the kid questions, the kind Robinson should have asked. "Where do you go to school? How old are you? What's your name?" The kid's name is Kobe Bryant. It's their first encounter, and Kobe comes away thinking Shaq is, as he puts it, really nice. He has other words for Penny Hardaway. That guy, he figures, is way too full of himself for his own good. A few years later, Kobe gets to the NBA. Whenever he's on the court with Hardaway, he plays like he's gonna destroy him. Shaq and Kobe are different in nearly every way. But they've both got a talent for holding a grudge. As Kobe says of Hardaway's affront, "I kind of carried that with me my whole career." Sometimes that can be useful, weaponizing anger as a motivating force on the court. But as the years roll on, Shaq and Kobe won't aim their deepest resentments at opponents. They'll aim them at each other, as players on the same team.
Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too, until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year, with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
From Wondery, I'm Rico Galliano, and this is One Plus One. Picture Kobe Bryant in his rookie year with the Lakers. He's 18 years old. He's alone in his room in a big, beautiful house in the posh Los Angeles community of Pacific Palisades, where he lives with his parents. This room is his sanctuary. Here, he spends hours alone playing Nintendo and writing poetry. Ask him about the ladder and he'll say,
"It's like a puzzle to me. I love mixing and matching the words."
Shaq is in his first year with the Lakers. He's out on the town, cruising with his posse in a silver Mercedes sedan. It's customized. Etched into the headlight glass is the Superman logo. For Shaq, the great thing about success is he'll never have to be alone. For Kobe, what's great about success is he can create his own private world where he'll never have to be bothered. Many great duos who achieve greatness together are a study in contrast, just like this. And these differences can be the secret to their success. But Shaq and Kobe, well, they take it to the next level. It'd be hard to cook up two superstars more different, as players or as people. And to understand just how different, you need to understand them before they became teammates on the championship Lakers. This is Episode 2, Powered by Fury. Before Lakers games, Shaq comes bounding into the Staples Center. He's bursting with energy, a human tornado. He laughs and jokes. He's the good-hearted clown. Then Kobe arrives, self-contained and dignified in his perfectly tailored suits. Kobe's wardrobe would look just fine on a guy three times his age. His teammates joke he doesn't own a pair of jeans. In their eyes, Shaq has never become an adult, and Kobe has never been a child. The difference between them is clear right before every tip-off. That's when the Lakers gather just outside the locker room and form a circle, their arms around each other. Shaq leads them, jumping up and down. His voice rises above the others as they shout, 1, 2, 3, 4, Lakers! And then there's Kobe, standing a few feet away. He watches, but doesn't take part. Since he was a kid, Shaq has always wanted to be loved. Kobe never much cared what other people thought. You can chalk it up to the way they were raised. And it's not just that they grew up in different neighborhoods. They grew up in whole different universes. Kobe is taught to play basketball by his father, Joe Bryant, also known as Jelly Bean Bryant back when he played in the NBA. Kobe's the third of three children and his family's only son. Everyone dotes on him. He is the center of the household. At age three, Kobe's in the living room, bright eyes fixed on the TV, watching his dad play for the San Diego Clippers. Kobe, as he recalls years later, plays right along with him.
I used to put on my jersey, you know, I have my shorts on, and when he would play, you know, I would play too. I have a little hoop, you know, in the living room, I play, then they take a timeout, then I take a timeout, you know, sit down, have some water, you know, wipe the sweat off, then they start playing, then I play again. I'm 3 years old, and I would do this for the entire game.
When Kobe's 5 years old, Joe Bryant's years in the NBA come to an end. But Joe still wants to play, so he goes to the lesser Italian league to finish his career. He brings his family to Europe with him. They're a close-knit group. They grow even closer when they become the only black family in Rieti, Italy. Kobe is just shy of 6 years old when he first tells his dad he wants to play in the NBA. But he's worried he's not tall enough. He's in first grade, and when he looks around the classroom, he wonders, is there anybody here I'm taller than? He doesn't hit his growth spurt until eighth grade. When it comes, he grows so fast his knees hurt. In Italy, Kobe's a loner. He's a black kid in a white country, an American in an Italian culture. Basketball gives him what he needs and craves. In other sports, he tells himself, you have to get someone to do it with you. But in basketball, you just pick up the ball and go dribble. His grandparents send him boxes filled with videotapes of NBA games. He watches Michael Jordan, Magic Johnson, and Larry Bird soar through space, stuff reverse dunks, launch three-pointers from the perimeter. No matter how difficult the move, he says, I can do that. Soon, he's less interested in what these great players do than in why they do it. Why, at this moment, do they spin left or at that moment move right? And why does it work? He watches individual plays over and over again, dissecting them, trying to understand the thought behind the movement. By the time he's 10 years old, he's trying out these moves with pro players on his dad's team. When he makes a move or a shot that doesn't work, he figures out why. This part of the game feels like a series of doors he's got to pass through. He tells himself, let me just crack this door open. And behind it, there's another door, then another. He's consumed with basketball, constantly playing it, dreaming about it. His favorite Italian phrases are tira la bamba, shoot the three, and bellissimo tira, beautiful shot. When Kobe enters high school, the Bryant family returns to the States. They live in a wealthy Philadelphia suburb where Kobe enjoys an upper middle class life. Most players come from the inner city or poor rural areas where they play basketball 12 hours a day because they got nothing else to do. Kobe has lots to do. He plays the latest video games. He cruises around in his dad's BMW. But every day, he is on the court, running and shooting. He plays what he calls shadow ball, imagining he's up against five defenders, weaving through them, refining his footwork, polishing his game. On his high school team, he is the undisputed star. His comfortable life hasn't made him soft. In fact, it's bred a special hatred of losing. Any loss interferes with his endless upward trajectory. It disrupts the graceful flow of his life. For Shaquille O'Neal, basketball is also a family affair. But he learns the game from his stepfather, an ex-Marine staff sergeant. Shaq calls him Sarge. And Sarge is tough. He rides Shaq hard. Every morning, he barges into the kid's room and tosses a coin on his bed. If the coin doesn't bounce, Shaq has to make the bed again. The same attitude applies to basketball. No matter how much Shaq improves, Sarge is never satisfied.
If you don't play well, you don't eat, he says.
And he means it. Despite this, or maybe because of it, nothing matters more to Shaq than earning Sarge's respect. The day Shaq's born in 1972, he weighs 8 pounds. He grows fast. By the time he's a year old, his mother has to bring along his birth certificate when they go on train rides to prove he qualifies for half-price children's fares. No one believes he's under 5. Being big is a terrible burden for a kid who's easily hurt and whose only goals are to be liked and to fit in. Other kids make fun of him. They call him Shaquilla the Gorilla. He stops trick-or-treating when he's 11. He's 6'4" by then, and no one buys there's a child beneath his costume. He hunches over when he walks. The ridicule gets to him. Sometimes, he overreacts. One day he's in class when a kid calls out,
"Hey, didn't you wear those jeans yesterday?"
Shaq answers by bouncing the kid's head off his desk. This kind of thing, he realizes, is no way to make himself liked. So he tries another approach. When he wants to make friends with somebody, he clowns around or breakdances. At one point, he does this with such wild energy, a teacher asks his mom if he's prone to seizures. Meanwhile, he struggles to feel at home in his own body. The older he gets, the more he grows. A kid his size is still a spectacle, a thing of shame and embarrassment. Even when he's an NBA superstar, those feelings never quite go away. On his 13th birthday, he's 6'5". An army doctor predicts he'll grow to 7 feet, at least. Shaq figures his options are limited. One, be a freak and never fit in. Or two, be an athlete. His favorite sport is football because he's lean and mean and he loves to tackle. But Sarge and his mother steer him to basketball. They tell him it's a sport he could really succeed in. For Shaq, that's an amazing and comforting notion that they believe he could succeed at anything. Even in a big man's game, Shaq tries to divorce himself from his size. He hones what he calls small guy things: running, driving, passing, and footwork. Sarge teaches him the key moves of the great players: Bill Russell's blocked shot, Wes Unseld's outside pass, Jerry West's jump shot. By 15, Shaq is the star of his high school basketball team. He calls himself a child superstar, and he gets the attention of sports announcers.
I really believe, without a doubt, Shaquille O'Neal has to be the best high school player in the United States.
The same kids who used to laugh at him now cheer him and crowd the sidelines to watch him. They hold up their fingers in V's for victory. basketball has turned his size into an enviable, marketable asset. Sometimes he can even convince himself he's not different. He's special. He goes on to Louisiana State, where he's a two-time All-American and two-time Player of the Year. And then...
with the first pick in the 1992 NBA Draft, the Orlando Magic selects Shaquille O'Neal from Louisiana State University.
Before his junior year, he leaves for the Orlando Magic as first pick in the draft. Even before he plays his first game, he's already a success. No rookie has ever nabbed such a lucrative contract, $41 million for 7 years. He's aware his small man's game and big man's body give him huge advantages. The great center Bill Walton has coached him. Speaking courtside, he talks about Shaq's potential.
Shaquille O'Neal can become the best player ever to play basketball. Whether he does depends on him. He has all the ability, the physical skills, the mental skills, the family background, the discipline, the work ethic. Now it's just whether he puts his time and mind to it.
He enters the league with two burning desires, to dominate and to be loved. The first part is easy. He just plays hard. The being loved part is trickier. For that, he studies what makes other players popular. He notices the hugely popular Magic Johnson smiles a lot. He watches players who fans tend to avoid, the players who scowl and curse. He tells himself,
I ain't crazy. I'll stay away from that.
So he smiles a lot, and he doesn't curse, at least not in public. Kobe's different. His first-year contract isn't as hefty as Shaq's. It's $3.6 million for 3 years. But before he plays his first game with the Lakers, he's also nailed down an endorsement deal with Adidas, appearances in TV sitcoms, a guest spot with Jay Leno, and another with Cindy Crawford. Yes, she did have a talk show.
When you got your NBA contract, you weren't old enough, you're not legal to sign it.
Right, I had to have my mother and my father here to back me up. Yeah, I had to have my mother and father there backing me up.
And then when you turned 18, did you like get a new contract? You had to resign.
I had to resign it because I was legal.
Now you're legal. But you're still not legal to have a drink.
I know, but that's cool though because I don't drink.
You don't drink.
Okay. Kobe, with his easy manner and glamour, never spends much time wondering what other people might like. He's not worried about being loved. Kobe has a charisma that leaves people hoping he will love them. Beneath Kobe's confidence is more confidence. Beneath Shaq's big smile and love of fun and his tattoos proclaiming against the law and man of steel, there's something tender and wounded. Later, when they're teammates, Shaq will foul out of a Lakers game they're winning. He leaves the court to the strains of the Star Wars theme and the boos and cheers of fans. After the game ends, he's sitting in front of his locker, looking depressed and embarrassed. Asked what happened, he mutters,
I ain't got shit to say.
But when Kobe fouls out of a winning game, he's not depressed at all. He just shrugs and says,
I really didn't care, man.
And he means it. Kobe gets all the positive reinforcement he needs from himself. Kobe never doubts his own value, while Shaq always cares what other people think. Shaq's been considered the dominant basketball player in the country since he was in high school. High school All-American, NBA number one draft pick. And when the Lakers offer Shaq one of the biggest paydays in the league, it's still not enough for him to feel valued.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/Wondery. Code Wondery.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
From his first years in the NBA with the Orlando Magic, Shaq is a phenomenon. At 19, he's definitely the biggest. Also, one of the best. He can hardly believe how much money he's making. All he really wants is a super cool car and to buy a house for his parents. By the time he's 24 and being courted by the Lakers, he's set for life. He's got a 22-car garage and a mansion in Florida overlooking a lake in a gated community where Tiger Woods also lives. Huge gold and diamond crosses hang from his neck. When the Lakers offer him $98 million for 7 years, he nearly accepts it. Then he learns one of his major rivals, Alonzo Mourning, is signing with another team for $110 million. So Shaq refuses the offer. It isn't greed. "Man, I mean, I got money," Shaq says. The issue is pride. And his pride is satisfied when the Lakers give him $123 million. Shaq is his own unique creation. He presents himself to the world as the happy-go-lucky guy he wants to be. He also likes to remind the world he's smart. So he gives himself names. The Big Aristotle. The Big Shakespeare. A list so long, one of his teammates names him the Big Whatever he calls himself today. He's happiest in his big brother role, dispensing useful advice to his teammates. He tells them being honest with a girl makes her love you even more. That if you ever meet Bill Gates, don't say, "What up, dog?" You say, "Mr. Gates, hi, how are you doing?" Shaq is one of the guys. Kobe isn't. The Lakers coach calls Kobe a boy in a man's game. And in many ways, he is. He's still living at home with his parents, and he's kind of a mama's boy, even if he is the one who paid for the house. He likes the comfort of homemade meals and of watching movies with his family on his parents' bed. He doesn't date, unless you count going to his high school prom with the pop star Brandy, and that wasn't really a date so much as a photo op. When Kobe acts like a brother or talks trash, the other guys aren't buying it. Sure, Kobe's tough, but not in the way guys are tough when they grow up hard. These guys respect their own kind of tough. Unlike most of his teammates, Kobe knows the value of press coverage and seems to respect reporters who cover the team. He would never say, as Shaq once says to a reporter, "I'm not going to answer that dumbass question." Instead, he'll go to reporters with a smile and ask, "Need me for anything?" He's well-mannered, always polite. Watching him in his rookie year, one Lakers executive thinks, "Please, God, don't let this guy change." But a young guy spending half his time in front of adoring crowds and raking in millions of dollars in salary and endorsements is bound to change. In Kobe's fourth year in the league, he spends Christmas with his fiancée, the beautiful young woman he met and fell in love with the year before. Among his gifts to her, a Pomeranian puppy they named Gucci. She gives him a rectangular wristwatch edged in two rows of diamonds. Shaq spends that Christmas morning in the largely African-American city of Watts. He doesn't announce his visit to the community or to the press. Instead, wearing his Shaka Claus red cap, he knocks on doors and gives out 500 presents he picked out and bought himself. Two different men, two different worlds. They're both being paid an ungodly amount of money by the Lakers to win championships, and that means they'll have to figure out how to get along. Will their shared drive to be the best overcome their differences? If there's anyone who has a chance of making Shaq and Kobe make nice for the sake of the greater good, it'll be a legendary new coach. In the next episode of Kobe and Shaq, Phil Jackson becomes the head coach of the Lakers. Jackson picks Shaq to lead the team, and Kobe's got a problem with that, which makes it everyone's problem.
From Wondery, this is episode 2 of 6 of 1 Plus 1, Kobe and Shaq. To hear more seasons of 1 Plus 1, listen exclusively with Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus for more exclusives, binges, early access, and ad-free listening. Available in the Wondery app. This episode was hosted by Rico Galliano. Elizabeth Kay wrote this story. She's the author of Ain't No Tomorrow, Kobe, Shaq, and the Making of a Lakers Dynasty. Karen Lowe is our senior producer and editor. Sound designed by Bay Area Sound. Executive producers are Jenny Lauer-Beckman, Marshall Louie, and Hernan Lopez for Wondery. And a note about the conversations you've been hearing. We can't know exactly what was said, but this dialogue is based on our best research.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.